I want you to look with me, first of all, Romans chapter 4. This is going to be the outline of my message this morning. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 said that He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Delivered for our offenses. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That Jesus was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I want to read from John chapter 19, verse 16 through 18. It's the account of Jesus as He was delivered up to be crucified. It says, "Then delivered He Him, therefore, unto them to be crucified." This talk about Pilate delivering up Jesus to be crucified. "And they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into the place called..." Or to a place called... "Forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Verse 18. "Where they crucified Him, two other with Him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst." He was delivered up to be crucified. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We ask for You to just add Your richest blessings to Your holy word. Just guide me as I speak. Help me, Lord, as I preach Your word. Help us to hear what You have, the Spirit has to say, and help us to receive it by faith in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. I drove down the road, it's been years ago now, I was driving by a church and they had a sign. You know how they, many times they have a sign up there and they have some, a saying or something they put out there. And this particular church had on its sign, it said, "If you are okay and I'm okay, explain to me the cross." If you're okay and I'm okay, explain to me the cross. What the sign was saying, if I'm okay, if this world is okay, if do whatever you want, you choose your way and I'll choose my way, and it'll all be good. If that were the case, why is it that the blessed Son of God, the perfect Son of God, had to die upon a rugged cross? How did He have, why did He have to shed His blood? Why did He have to go through such torture and agonize so much for you and for me? See, that's the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, if everything is okay, if you're okay and I am okay, then we need to, how can we explain the cross of Jesus Christ? We need, and it's not important, listen, it's not important for us to, you know, what we see, right? What I say, my opinion, everybody's got one, just like an armpit, right? Everybody's got an opinion. You've got your opinion, I've got my opinion, but that's not the important thing. It's how does God view things? That's what's going to matter in the big scheme of things. When I stand before God, it's not going to be how I saw things or what I thought was good or best or what my neighbor thought was good or best, but how did God view things? How did He see things? Come on. That's what's going to matter. And so we've got to ask ourselves, why was it, if everything's okay, and of course, look, turn on the news, right? Watch what's going on in your world. Watch the horrible things that are happening. And you and I can look and say, everything is not okay. We're living in a fallen world. We're living in a world is just completely out of kilter. And that's the reason why Jesus had to die upon the cross. In that scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, He was delivered for our offenses. Now, as we read the account of Jesus being delivered by Pilate into the hands of the Roman soldiers and they led Him away to be crucified, we think as if Pilate was the one that delivered Him. But it wasn't Pilate that was really doing the delivering. Yes, his hands were the one. He was the one that said, okay, you can crucify him. But ultimately, the Word of God wants us to understand that it wasn't Pilate that was doing it. It was none other than God the Father that was delivering up his Son to be crucified. He was delivered by God because a penalty had to be paid. He was delivered for our offenses. Offenses. Not our offenses towards one another necessarily, although we offend one another, but our offenses towards an almighty God. An almighty God had been offended because he had set down a law. He set down a perfect standard. He told man, this is what you've got to do. You've got to live according to my precepts. Don't disobey my word. And because they did not do that, they had offended against an almighty God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's you and that's me. What is sin? I mean, really, when you look at sin, what is sin? Well, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sins transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. It's very plain. What is sin? All have sinned. What does that mean? Every one of us have transgressed God's law. If you look at the Ten Commandments, if I were to say, how many of you have broken one of the Ten Commandments, every one of them will have to raise our hands. I'm the first one to do it, but not only just one of them. We probably have broken five or eight or what have you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, James said, James chapter 2 verse 10 said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of the whole thing. So even if I had done well, even if I had done pretty good and kept them all but one, I would still be guilty of sin. Now listen to this, Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Death. Now, I'm not talking about just going into the grave, that 6 foot under dirt nap that we talk about. No, I'm talking about eternal death. That the wages of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so because we have sinned, because we have faltered and failed, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In fact, Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, by that one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Wow. Death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. Praise God. And so, think about that. We had offended against Almighty God, but the good news is that Jesus was sent by God to die upon that cross. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Oh, what a glorious gift that God gave His Son when He allowed Him to be delivered upon that cross and allowed Him to shed His blood as they put that crown of thorns down upon His blessed brow. Hallelujah. As they thrust that old sword up into His side, as they pierced His hands and His feet, and the blood of old Golgotha streamed down and beat out the tune of redemption on those criminal bones. It was because God loved you and me, that He made a way for you and I. We were broken. We were unforgiven. We were bound by our sin. But praise God, God said they need a sacrifice. They need somebody to pay the price. And so He sent His blessed Son to be delivered up for us all. Aren't you glad for that? In fact, as we go to Isaiah 53, it's such a powerful thing. I wanted to walk through this because I want you to see that what an act of love that God the Father would give His precious Son for you and me. If you look at verse 6, first of all, verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep," verse 6, "all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." God decided, He said, you know what? All have sinned. God's a God of love. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But God is a perfect God of love and a perfect holy God that He cannot tolerate sin. He's got to deal with sin. Any violation of His law as a just God, He must deal with it. So He looked down upon this world that had fallen and all that had sinned and fallen short of His glory. And He said, I want to love them. I want to have a relationship with them. How am I going to make a way where there seems to be no way? And so He sent His Son to live the perfect life and to die that perfect death. He took your sins and my sins and placed it upon Him. Listen, it says, "All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all." He couldn't, listen, I couldn't die for your sins because I was a sinner. Woo! And you couldn't die for my sins because you were a sinner too. Every one of us had broken. All but there came this one guy named Jesus who did not sin. Hallelujah! Who came and lived out the perfect law of God. He fulfilled every prophecy, every sacrifice, everything. He fulfilled it. And God, by His wonderful grace, took all of our sins and placed it upon the precious Lamb, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's good news today, saints. In fact, if you look at that fifth verse, you go back to the fifth verse there, it says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." I want you to look at that word "our" very, very precisely. Focus in on that. "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God wounded Him? He put our sins upon His back, and then He took the wrath out upon His Son for our sins. The judgment that was needed to be paid for the sins of all the world was paid in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Go down to verse 10 of this same chapter, Isaiah 53. I didn't really know this when I came to the Lord, but as I begin to read, such a precious thing is revealed that I thought, oh, what a tragedy, but also what a triumph. It says there in Isaiah 53 and 10, it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him." How could that be? God the Father bruising His precious Son, who He said, "He's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief." Think about Jesus as He suffered and as He died upon that old rugged tree. An agony as He cried out and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" He was crying out because God had poured our sins upon His Son and was punishing Him in our place. He was dying in our stead. Listen, it says, "When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin." Such a powerful thing. He made Him an offering for our sins. "He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." Listen, go down to verse 11 now in Isaiah 53. He said that, just talking about God, "God shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied." Oh, as we see Jesus dying on that cross and all the world goes dark, right? It's at noonday, but it becomes midnight. It goes dark because the Lord of all creation is dying upon that cross. But God is seeing the travail of His soul. Hallelujah. He's seeing Him dying. He sees Him becoming the sacrifice for you and me and shall be satisfied. Oh, the wonder of it all. As we look at all that's going on, all the tragedy that's happening in our world today, all the hurt, all the things that we wish could never happen, the innocents dying and people being slaughtered, how can it possibly be that God could turn away? But I want you to see this today, saints, that it's because God has already punished the sin of all mankind in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. That, oh, at any moment and any time, you and I say, I've made the wrong choice. I've done the wrong thing. I want to believe. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin. That at any moment He can forgive you because of what Jesus has done. He said, I shall see the travail of His soul and I shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He'll justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. He will bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, they'd take a goat called the scapegoat. You may have heard about it. And they would come and they would confess their sins over this goat. And then they would send it out. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our wonderful scapegoat? Oh, everybody's looking for a scapegoat. Remember Adam and Eve. God came to Adam and said, Adam, what have you done? You ate of the tree of knowledge. He said, oh, it was my wife that you gave me that made me do it. You know, everybody looking for a scapegoat. Somebody else made me. It was my wife. God goes to Eve and says, oh, Eve. Adam says, you're the problem. Oh, the devil made me do it. Come on, the devil made me do it. He's the one that got me in trouble. People are looking for a scapegoat. Where there's a scapegoat in the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered for our offenses. But the wonderful, wonderful news today, it said He shall pour, Isaiah 53:12, He says, He hath poured out His soul unto death. You see that? Right down in the middle of that verse, He said, let's read it. It says, therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. Oh, hear this perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, was nailed on a cross between two thieves. He was numbered with the transgressors. Hallelujah. Two liars, two thieves, whatever they were before. But there was the blessed Son of God who had did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, hung before you and I as a transgressor. Because God had placed our sins. Then He goes on to say He was numbered with the transgressors and He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. You know, in the Bible, it says that His blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel's blood. The Bible said, you read it there in Genesis chapter 4, where God came on the scene and He was asking Cain, what happened? He said, I hear your brother's blood crying out from the ground. What he was hearing was vengeance. See, because Cain had killed his brother Abel. He was an innocent man and killed his brother. And so God said, something has to be done because Abel's blood is crying to me from the ground. But the New Testament says that Jesus' blood speaks better things. It doesn't cry out for vengeance from the ground. The blood of Jesus, remember what Jesus said? He said He made intercession for the transgressors. As He died upon the cross, as He wants them gambling over His garments, as He wants them saying, oh, if you're really the Son of God, take yourself down. As they spat upon Him and they ridiculed Him, He said, Father, Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Aren't you glad today? The blood of Jesus Christ cries out to God, God, forgive them, for they don't know what they do today. Hallelujah to God. His blood is crying out to God today for our forgiveness, for our restitution, for us to make it right with Jesus Christ. The Bible said that God delivered up His own Son because God so loved the world. Woo, aren't you glad when God looks down? You know, how many of us look at the, oh my, I can't take it much longer. But God looked down upon a world, didn't He, Donna? And He saw us in our mess and He loved us even when we were sinners, even when we were enemies to God, but He loved us nonetheless. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, you read in Romans 8 and 32, it says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He would give His only Son to be tortured, to be ridiculed, to be executed, if you please, on that old rugged cross. If He'll do that, how much more? If He'll give His Son so that we might be forgiven, how much more will He give all the things that we have need of Him if we'll only ask, if we'll only look to Him today? Oh, praise God. It gets even better. I wanted to just point this out. It gets even better because years ago, I was working at Walmart, and I was cleaning for a while, and then I started stocking shelves, and you know how they played the music. They were playing a certain station every night, and the one song would just come on maybe two or three times a night, and the chorus was, Love Never Counts the Cost. Now, it was an old country western song. You probably, maybe if you're familiar with it, you might have heard it. It kept on saying, Love Never Counts the Cost. And I'd listen to it and I thought, man, that's really good. I like that. I think that makes sense. And then as I began to think about it a little bit more deeply, and I thought, wait a minute. God began to open my eyes. And I began to realize, no, that's not altogether true. Love never counts the cost. It sounded good, but really what we need to understand is love counts the cost. Yes, sirree. True love looks at what it's going to cost it, and then they count the cost and say, I'm willing to pay. Oh, yes. When you're standing there at the altar, for better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and in health, you ought to be counting the cost. Amen. You ought to be saying, yes, I'm willing to pay. Because we're talking about a commitment. Amen. We're talking about a covenant. But I want you to know something. That we fail. We falter. Right? We don't always live up to what we'd like to be able to live up to. But I want you to know that we serve a God, and we serve one named Jesus Christ who is willing to count the cost and pay the cost. He, the Bible says, listen to me now, Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 said, He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, in the last book of the Bible, He said Jesus was the Lamb slain before God ever created the foundations of the world. And again, He said in Peter 1, verse 18 through 20, He says, For as much as you know that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last times for you. Oh, this is awesome. You've heard people say, okay, if God really loves everybody, why would He put a tree in the middle of that garden? I mean, everything was perfect. Why did he have to pop a tree there with some fruit that they weren't supposed to eat? How many know that there's no such thing as love and relationship if you don't have a choice? Oh, if you don't have a choice, what are you? I am just the robot down here doing whatever you want me to do. You know, I'll just plug in the right information and all. God didn't want a bunch of automatons walking through this whole world mindless, but he wanted to have a relationship, so he gave us a choice. Oh, but I want you to see something. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, eternal God, one person, eternally existing in one God eternally existing in three persons, as they talked and they thought about making men in this world, they said, we're going to have to give them a choice. But you know, they might choose not to follow. Jesus stepped forward and said, I will pay the price. Oh, think about it. Not only did he be willing, but way back before not one of us was created, not one of us was upon this earth, not one blade of grass had sprung, not one water in a river had ever flowed, that Jesus, hallelujah, had said, I will die and I will give my life's blood for you. I want you to know that God loves you today. That he cares about you. He cared so much that he was willing to die even before the foundation of the world. He loved you enough to give you and I a choice to choose to serve him. And I love it because he started with a tree. He started with the tree, said, you have to just not eat of that tree. You've got to leave it there in the garden. You've got to acknowledge that everything I've given you, it belongs to me, and that you've got to honor me by not touching this tree. Every time they looked at that tree and didn't partake of it, they were acknowledging and reminding themselves that everything we've got, God has given to us. But they didn't deny themselves. They ate of that tree. But now there's another tree, isn't there? There's another tree on which another fruit has hung. The blessed Son of God, that God says, you've got to partake of that fruit. You've got to say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me and that his blood was shed for me. You've got to eat of that flesh and drink of that blood. You've got to partake of that tree, and you can have life, and you can have it more abundantly. Oh, how we must surrender all to him. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. I want to get to the really, really. It's really good what I'm talking about this morning. It's good news. But how many know he said he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification? He died for all of our sins, took them all upon himself, suffered the wrath of God, and was buried in that old tomb. But he raised up on the third day. The Bible said he was raised by the glory of the Father. And we have to understand is what was happening when God was raising Jesus up from the dead. It was God saying, the sacrifice that you had offered for me and for these people, hallelujah, all the world, he said, I am accepting it. I'm raising you from the dead and acknowledging the fact that what you have just done will pay for all the sins of all the world. Raised again for our justification. What a powerful thing. The Bible says in Romans 1:4, it says he is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared to be God's Son by the resurrection from the dead, by the Spirit of holiness. God said, yes, my son has paid the ultimate price. In fact, in Acts 13 and 33, when God said in Psalm 2, He said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. The apostle said that was God fulfilling that scripture, that God was begetting His own son and saying, yes, this is my resurrected son who has paid the price. In fact, the Bible said He gave Him a name above every name. When He raised Jesus from the dead, gave Him a name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Aren't you glad that God raised Jesus from the dead and gave Him that name? So today we can call upon the name of Jesus Christ and we can be saved. Whew. A name above every name, that God hears it in heaven and we are forgiven. Now, I was thinking about this and I was reading in Acts chapter 1 verse 3. It says, after Jesus had died, it says, after His passion, which is His death, He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, just wrap your mind around this. Think about this. It said, He showed Himself alive after His resurrection. He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of things pertaining to the king. And so it wasn't like Jesus rose from the dead and then boom, He was in heaven and that was it. He rose from the dead and then He was walking around on earth showing Himself to people that He was indeed alive. Why is that significant, preacher? He was saying, look, my sacrifice is accepted. All that I did on the cross, it has finished it. Look, touch me, feel me, see that I'm indeed alive. You can be forgiven. God has accepted my sacrifice. You can have a new life. You can have a new beginning. You can start anew. Hallelujah. I want you to see me. I don't want to hide. I want to let everybody know. Oh, praise God. I'm about to get a little excited here. Oh, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8, it said, He was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of all 12 of the apostles. Then it says, after that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto the present. As Paul was writing this book to the church of and 1 Corinthians about the resurrection, he said, while I'm penning this down, I'm telling you that 500 people saw Jesus and He was raised from the dead, and many of them are still alive. Oh, hallelujah. Because God wanted us to understand that God had accepted His sacrifice, that you can indeed be forgiven, that Jesus today, He saw Him on the earth. And the Bible said that as He ascended into heaven, the disciples watched Him as He was going up into the clouds. What a powerful thing. And they watched as He went up and He was received out of their sight. Can you just imagine with me here? They were, them old jaws are just down. Oh, they had seen this man, Redeemer, do so many miracles. They thought He was all done. He was crucified. And now He's alive. And He's been with them 40 days. He's showing up. You remember the story of doubting Thomas when Thomas told the rest of the disciples. He said, I'll never believe it unless I see it with my own eyes. So then Jesus comes and shows up and said, here I am, Thomas. He said, take your fingers and thrust them into my hands, and take your hand and thrust them into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Oh, see that it is indeed true that my sacrifice has been accepted. Oh, hallelujah. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Jesus said, no, I got a better plan for you, Peter. He said, I'm going out fishing. And then one day he shows up on the shoreline, and there's a coals and there's a fish that he's cooking. And Jesus says, hey, you catch any fishes out there? They said, no. He said, hey, cast your net on the other side. And they cast their net over on the other side. And they're pulling in so many fish, they can't even pull it in, Amy. Oh, and then Peter realizes, wait a minute, that's Jesus. And he throws himself into the water and swims to shore. How many know Jesus wanted them to know he was alive? He was real. I'm talking about a real Savior. I'm talking about real living Savior that's on the right hand of the Father. But that day as he went up, I want you to get a grip of what these men were going through as they watched their Savior, as they watched this man who had risen from the dead, as they watched their God, their Lord, piercing through those clouds. And they knew that he was going away. And the angels, oh, don't you love the angels? This is so funny to me. Hey, what are you standing gazing up into heaven? What do you mean, why are we standing? Jesus is... But you know what they said? They said, oh, this same Jesus. This same Jesus. Come on now, not another one. This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah to God. Oh, the angels are already testifying. When they went to the tomb to find him, Sister Cheryl, they said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Too many people, they're looking for life. They're looking for answers. They're looking for a way to have eternal life. But they're looking in the tombs of this world. What you've got to look is who the crucified, but not crucified still, died and resurrected Lord ascended into the heavens today. But he's coming back. He's coming back again. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to give you an opportunity today. And really, it's just about believing. It's as simple as that. God has made it so simple for us. He says, if you'll just believe, if you'll just put your faith in what Jesus has done, he said, I will forgive you of all your sins. Now you think, oh, it just seems so simple. But if you'll say, yes, I believe that Jesus was punished and he took the penalty for all that I've done, and I want you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. The Bible said he will allow his blood to wash away your sin. And he will make you, through his resurrection power, a new creation. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that one day I said, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I need to change. I need something to happen in my... I've been telling the guys down at the jail. I say, this is for you, my friend. You need to know Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about reforming. I'm not talking about becoming religious. I'm not talking about joining a church. I said, I'm talking about God coming in and putting within you a new heart. Hallelujah. And breathing into your nostrils a breath of life. He said, to many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name. And all we've got to do is confess our sins. Simply say, God, I am a sinner, and I have sinned, and I have broken your commandments, and I want you to forgive me today. I want you to give me a new start. Hallelujah. Come into my heart. Take out the stony heart and put into me a heart of flesh. Make a new person out of me. I want to give you that opportunity right now as we're sitting here today. Why? Because he is alive. Listen, oh, He wants you to know, look, you can believe because I'm still alive and I'm alive forevermore. Why don't you close your eyes today, bow your heads before that wonderful resurrected Jesus today and say, here I am, Lord. I'm sorry for my